welcome to Girls in Heels. On today's show, a revolution is brewing, and we couldn't be happier about it. I'm going to ask the twins for some advice to a very awkward situation I'm going through. Nicole has a story. You know, when Nicole has a story, it's a doozy. And our countdown to the things that meant the most to us in 2015. Just a little short one. You know, we're not a big countdown kind of show, but we have a couple of things in our mind that we like to get off of our chest. There you go. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence. My co-hosts are Teresa Aprea and Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hello, girls.
Hey there. Hello, girls.
What up,
Cooper
Nicole?
What's up?
What's up?
Christmas tree last night.
You did? Okay, well, now we know, Teresa, we learned last week that she has her Christmas tree up all year long, so we got to hear about Nicole's tree.
No. But before we get started, that's my special family tree upstairs. I am putting up another one tomorrow.
Okay.
In my downstairs.
That looks like it belongs in, like, the window of Saks Fifth Avenue.
Of course.
It's really beautiful. I must say, Teresa.
Well done. Now, Nicole, you have a tree. I'm sure it's also not a Charlie Brown tree. I'm sure it's amazing.
No, it's beautiful. And I always get a real tree every year because I love the smell of Christmas. I can't put up a fake tree. I mean, Teresa, yours is it's beautiful,
Thank you, Nicole.
Fake tree. And I like walking into a home and smelling, you know, a Christmas tree. So, yes, I went last night with my son, Joey, and we actually went to a fire department where the firemen sell lots of Christmas trees. So I figured let's give them the business because they're volunteer and it would be nice
giving
to
back.
Giving back.
For the holidays.
So Joey and I had gone there, and believe it or not, they weren't like my favorite looking Christmas trees because I was looking for a Douglas fir.
Yes.
And they had some smaller ones. But my son Joey was so adorable. I said, Joey, come on, let's go up the road to Casola Farms. And he goes, Mom, we're not leaving here without a tree. Which Aww. I thought was so sweet because he's like, they're firemen, they work hard, Mom. Let's give them the business.
Right.
So that was really sweet.
And that's your tradition, you do with your son every year.
We do that every year. Joey and I, we go get our tree. And it is, speaking of traditions, I love traditions. I think it's so important as a mom or... I know, Cooper, you're not a mom. I'm sorry.
But as women, I'm a dog mom.
No, I don't mean that. But I think just as women, it's very important to have traditions. And that's something
whether
that...
Whether with your kids, your family, your friends.
Your friends. It's something, especially with children, they always remember.
Right. No, and we're the ones that set the traditions. I feel like it's also important in relationships. Like, my boyfriend and I do have a tradition. Like, we have our own Christmas traditions. We have, you know, when we have our Christmas meal, when we have our Christmas tree... lighting and opening, and like we have our own traditions that are important to us. And okay, he set those, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Really, he's the one who came in and decided when we were doing all that. So I'm sure that I did something very important in this relationship because he's still around. So
yeah,
I must be doing
somehow.
Yes.
But I want to say traditions are beautiful because they don't cost anything, and especially around the holidays.
Well, sometimes they do.
No, you can make traditions that are really like special, like putting up a tree and putting up the lights and making hot cocoa and lighting a fire and putting on Christmas music every year. Those are the things that don't cost much but are so special and are things that children and us, we always remember.
It's the way you make someone feel.
I thought of one. I make the coffee on Saturday mornings.
That's your tradition.
That's my tradition.
Saturday morning.
That's
awesome.
Right. He sleeps in, I make the coffee. There you go. I contributed to my relationship. Now, the most important thing that I need to talk to you guys about, I have so much going on in my life right now. Let me get your advice as moms, okay? As parents, because I have a little situation with a parent as a child, and I'm unsure what to do. I don't think we ever discussed this, but I don't talk to my biological father. And I haven't for, I think I was like 19 when I stopped talking to him.
We have not spoke about this.
No.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, why haven't you spoken to him since 19? That's
a long time.
Because he's abusive. And it took me to become an adult to realize that just because I'm related to somebody biologically, it doesn't mean that I have to keep suffering abuse at their hands. It was an amazing revelation. Yeah, because it was kind of like the moment where I thought, you know, well, this is my lot in life. This is the father I was given, so I have to be abused. And my stepfather, who was in my life since I'm 8 years old, said to me, just because he's related to you doesn't mean you have to put up with abuse. He knew about it, and, he tried to help, but it came to the point where I realized I'm an adult now. Like, at 19, I can change this.
Was he verbally abusive, physically abusive?
Oh, he was incredibly verbally abusive. He was physically abusive when I was a child.
Okay.
He stopped hitting me when I got older because I remember one time I was like big enough to hit him back. You know,
yeah.
So the physical,
and then they can stop bullying. Then they have it right. Comes to a point where okay, I can't bully this child anymore. This person, my daughter. That's
no, but that's when the mental abuse started because he realized he couldn't physically abuse me anymore. So he started to abuse me psychologically and mentally. And it didn't even occur to me that I didn't have to put up with it until my stepfather suggested that, and I thought, oh my God! Like I can just walk away. What? So, and it was amazing. Wow. It was an amazing revelation that I had that moment. I remember, like, when I was like, "This could be over right now," and I remember saying to him, "I thought, you know, I can either just ghost him, which wasn't really a term back then, but it was a way to handle people, or I can actually say to him that I'm not going to suffer this abuse anymore. I'm not going to take it anymore, and I don't want him in my life." And his response was, "I think that's a very good idea."
Oh, how sad.
Not like, what? You're my daughter. I can't picture a life without you. No, there was none of that. He was just like, yeah, that's a really good idea. I support that 100%.
Yeah, because he knew you weren't going to take it. And then why would he stick around when that's obviously the person he is? He's abusive.
Right.
So you weren't going to take it anymore. And he wasn't. He was like, okay, fine. You know, that's obviously what he thrives off of.
Exactly.
And I just want to say, too, for those who are listening, not only if you're a child, but if you're a wife, verbal abuse is just as damaging as physical abuse.
And I think we need to teach young, especially, I was going to say teach, people need to know this, but especially women today, we need to empower women. We need to educate young girls today and let them know, just stop. This needs to stop. There are so many people out there, physically abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse. I've heard more stories over the past year. This needs to stop. People, young women need to know they need to be so aware and they need to just walk away.
It's not that easy to walk away. I mean, I as know. You can see,
but there
many
are
years.
Many groups out there. There's a group called 180 for those like who are in verbal abusive marriages. There are support groups that people can Google and you know.
You're right. They can't just, you're right. For people who aren't and they haven't been even educated in this whole realm of abuse, they don't know. And it's a vicious cycle. Right. So they don't know where to get help. So you're right, Nicole, and Kuba, you're exactly right by saying that. Oh my gosh, not easy just to walk away. You're right. As a kid, just say, oh, I'm going to walk away from an abusive. No, I think there's so much stuff on the internet today that they can Google support groups that are private, that even whether it's a parent or an aunt or whatever it may be.
And more importantly, I think if you see this in somebody else, you know, maybe you don't recognize the signs, but for me, you know, I started doing drugs when I was 12 years old. And I had sex with boys like indiscriminately. Like I abused myself because I got this message from my dad that I was not worthwhile. So I might as well treat myself like, you know, somebody who has no value. And if you see someone in your life who is treating themselves like they have no value, you should be suspicious that there's a reason, especially if they're young.
There should be a
reason for it, right. And I have to tell you, it was amazing because at 19, I stopped drinking, I stopped doing drugs, I stopped having...
It was like a light went on.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing moment. And I never looked back. Never. So
awesome.
So here's what happened last week. Here's what happened last week, which is why I need your advice.
Okay.
So all these years have passed... Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm obviously way older than 19. You guys know how old I am because we're all the same age.
Not too far past.
Yes. Not too far. You know, a couple of years. I haven't thought twice about him. You know, my stepfather has been my father for all intents and purposes, raised me well. I'm really close with him. He's an amazing guy. Like, I feel blessed to have had somebody like him in my life. He's incredible. I get this email out of the blue from my cousin last week who said that my biological father contacted her because I guess he's moving, selling his house, renovating. I don't know what he's doing. He went through boxes in his basement and he found all these boxes that were mine. Stuff from like my childhood, like pictures and yearbooks and all kinds of stuff that are my memories from my life. And now if I were him, I would have just like thrown them out, burned them. I mean, obviously I'm not missing them. I didn't even know they were there. But he contacted her and said, if she wants them, I will mail them to her.
Okay. So are you asking us if you should let him send them to you or not?
Right. I don't know what to do because I feel like there's three things going on here. One is I haven't missed this stuff up until now.
You know what? I mean,
what do you think?
My first response was probably, you haven't missed them up until now. it's in the past. Do you want those memories? Obviously, they weren't
important to me. Right.
Important,
right.
Or the best memories. And then at the same time, I guess from a, you know, psychologist, maybe, or therapist point of view, they may say that it could be healing. Or that's kind of a difficult one. I mean, what
I would
you
have
say,
to,
Nicole?
I would
probably say it's in the past.
To me.
See, Nicole would want them sent, and I would be like, it's in the past. Close the box. I don't want
close
them.
Close chapter
and I
in
your
life and move on. But
and
no,
move on.
Like you have. I would want to see those pictures or whatever memories that may be in that box. I would have
Do
to.
Do you think, but see, to me, if your dad was to call you and say, Cooper, I am so sorry, and if there was a true forgiveness or there was healing to take place, I think that would have been a different outcome. I think by him calling your cousin saying, well, pick them up if you want, I think...
He'll send them.
But I don't see any remorse on his part or any kind of wanting to bond or heal with you to
right.
say, and then it would be a different story.
Wait, Therese, let me ask you this question. Do you think that this is his way? This is what I'm afraid of. This is his way of reaching out. Because remember, I'm older. He's older.
Does he know where you live? Because he said he would send them to you. So he wants your address.
That's the reason why he was contacting her. He was asking where I was, what city I was in. He doesn't even know that I'm still in New York. Like, he has no idea where I am. Can you get an address for me was the question.
I would, because I'm always into forgiveness, and maybe there is a time where he is remorseful and...
You know what? Okay.
Therese,
he does
what do you
want
think?
To contact
see,
you.
Now, you know what? I probably... See, now, this
maybe
is exactly...
Maybe he's done some soul searching.
And
maybe
tell
he
you,
is remorseful.
But you know what?
Listen.
My ego right now...
Yeah. Ego's up there, Therese.
And this is where... But this is what I'm telling you, and we're going to discuss this, because I really... want to make a difference and help others, because this is something I've been working through the past few weeks, and it is a little bit of a struggle, and it's very difficult to get rid of ego.
I'm others. Help me.
Our ego, our ego does, is, it's, it, when we can get rid of that ego, okay,
right.
That's when we could seriously love unconditionally. So I think to move on and to really grow and get to a point in your life where you're really attracting beautiful things and keeping all that yucky shit away.
Right.
I think it is about making things right with other human beings. So you know what? I think maybe to accept that box, and now I'm going to come from a totally different point.
Okay.
And I think as women, I could just give you the best advice. As a person, throwing the ego out, like saying, close the box and move on, that's kind of the hard-ass part of me talking, and it's really wrong. It's really wrong. If we want to vibrate on such a level where we're going to just be really helping one another, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, as women on this earth today, really uplifting, helping each other, my best advice to you is receive the box, receive the love, and take it as, you know what, he obviously... Forgive him for where he was at, because that was a horrible place he was at. So I think...
And forgiving him is a gift to you, not having bitterness in your soul. Because bitterness in our soul is like leprosy to us. It's only going to hurt you. So forgive him, receive that box, open it, keep what makes you happy and what makes you vibrate on a wonderful level.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever brings and stirs up like the bad memories and the sadness...
Let it go.
Throw
it's
it out.
Healing.
But see,
heal.
Nicole, I don't think anything in this box, there's no pictures of him. My guess is it's pictures of me and my mom and stuff about me.
Them.
But there may be some pictures in there that may stir up something that is going to make you sad, a time in your life that may make you think of him. And God willing, there will be pictures in that box.
Nicole,
that are going
I don't want to
to
think of him. It was a horrible experience.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why there may be some pictures that may stir up some negative things and may make you feel sad. Get rid
but
of those
okay
pictures.
Because you know
but
what?
It's
you're,
okay.
You're
because
so
you
right.
You healed. You moved on. So you're able. You are at a point now where
well, you're
you are
so
strong enough.
Exactly.
And you are empowered where you can go through that box and say, all
right,
you know what?
And not get hurt by it anymore.
This makes me, these pictures make me feel really good. I'm so happy I have them. And then you may look at some other pictures and say, ooh, I don't resonate good with these. You know what?
Right,
I'm
going
to get rid of
but
those
that's
pictures.
But that's okay. Because you're at such a great place. Yeah, that's
true. But I would
true.
Be excited at this point to... Okay. Get pictures of
so
you when you were
see what's
younger.
In the box, because it could be lots of fun memories,
yeah, some
right?
Lots of fun memories,
right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe not have them sent to my house, but have them sent to my mom's, because I don't think I want him having my address. I just, you know, it almost feels like, I don't know if you guys ever had like a boyfriend that was sort of like a crazy stalker or somebody that was just a little bit psycho. You know, you don't want them knowing exactly right. where you are. Like he right. can know I'm in New York, but New York's a big state.
Because you still want to feel protected.
Yes, exactly. I still don't feel 100% safe. Same. You know, whether I've forgiven him or not, I haven't really thought about it. I've just right. sort of, I've moved on so far past it that I no longer, right. it's been so many years, okay. I don't even think about it. But
don't you think it's freeing to be able to say, I forgive you, Dad. I forgive him, even if it's to yourself.
I think it's very empowering for
me, it is anyway, to say,
I forgive myself for allowing myself to be abused for so long. I forgive myself for waiting until I was 19 to make a break.
But
you know?
I think that's hard on yourself by saying you forgive yourself because you were a child and that happened
right,
to you.
It was not your fault
right. for you to say, I forgive myself. You did nothing wrong, Cooper. Nothing.
And I think that's what people who have been abused feel.
They take it on
like, okay, if I only did this right or if I only did that right.
Yeah.
And they do nothing wrong. It is not their responsibility. That other person has the mental illness. It is their problem.
Right.
It is their fault. You know, and women need to know that today. I mean, I'm talking from a woman's point of view.
Right.
I know there are men that get abused as well, but we're leaving them out today. Who cares?
Yeah, we'll talk about them another day.
But as women, like you said, too, we do have to remember, too, Nicole, yes, there are times, yes, to forgive, and that's beautiful, and to move on. But as women, remember, you do need to protect yourself because there are very scary situations out there where women also at times cannot let their guards down.
But let me ask you something,
Teresa. They need to move away from a situation.
Teresa, as parents, forget about as women, as parents, I mean, how do you, in your brain, think about, like, how does a parent treat a child like that for so long? Like, how do you, that's what I don't understand.
I can't even fathom that.
Right? I mean, you're both moms.
Was his parents, like, was his father abusive? Usually I think it's a vicious cycle. I always say hurt people hurt others. He had to be hurt by someone or something because hurt people hurt others. Bullies, you know, that's what they do. I don't think so.
I was very close with his father, my grandfather, very close with him. He was the most lovely. I mean, if he was abusive at all when they were kids, I don't know about it, and I can't picture it in a million years. I think he just has something psychologically wrong with him. I think he was born with like a fucked up brain and he ended up being abusive. Because I don't see it in any other place in my family. I don't see it with my cousins. I don't see it with my grandparents. So anger issues, right? No. I think he's mentally unstable. And my mother was young and hot. I will say this, he was very good looking. As a matter of fact, like women would throw. So he was really good looking.
And he
was a professional baseball player.
Oh, wow.
So this is like way earlier. Okay. I mean, later he became other things. But so he was a catch, you know, he was the kind of man that every woman wanted to be with. He was hot. He was an athlete. He was gorgeous. And smart. You know, so I think that he was able to fool people with all of that facade. And he fooled my mom, who was like this, you know, young, naive, adorable little thing. But luckily she realized it early enough because she divorced him when I was 3. So she got out.
Smart, really? smart lady. And let me tell you something, that's huge because I can't see. It's so hurtful to me, even just hearing your story, how a parent could treat a child that way. It's so unfair. It's so wrong. It's just wrong in plain English. Mm. It's our job as parents to protect children, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand that. That's the part I don't understand.
Right, so obviously there has to be something mentally not right in his brain because...
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it sounds crazy too, but sometimes it's a cultural thing as well. Like, I see Italians and even growing up in Italian households, like, you know, my father's an awesome man and my grandfather, but they have really bad tempers. I see Reno's family. Oh, my gosh. It's sad to say, but I see so many people. I see such loving people in our families, in both our families. Mm. And then I see a lot of dysfunctionality, too.
Right.
The way they've spoken at times to their spouses, their children. And I'm like, oh, wow, like I've seen. And it's just, it's wrong. And that's what I've always made my son be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the way you speak. Speak to others the way you want to be spoken to, you know? Watch your tone. Don't, and that's a huge word, abuse. Watch the way you speak. You don't, because once that once that line of respect is broken, mm-hmm. it's broken. Like they say, you know, you could throw a plate against a wall. Okay, great. The plate shatters. You can glue it back together. Okay, the plate looks the same again. But is it really the same again?
Right.
Still got those cracks. You still have that pain and that hurt. So that's what I've always taught my son as a mother from when he was very young, because I've seen it. You know what I mean? I've had relationships with boyfriends, some really good at a young age and then some really bad. I've been in abusive relationships where I've had young guys, like that whole Italian crazy scream and curse, and I'm like, oh, gross, horrible. I've had conversations with my husband. We've in the past, and I've always said this, people say, oh, I mean, it's crazy. Even now, people, which obviously being on a reality show and dealing with a lot of imbeciles that I've dealt with, cast members, and I'm not even going to start names because there's been such a freaking Twitter war and everybody knows who knows me and my fan base, who I'm going against. I made a comment talking about that a few weeks ago about somebody making a comment about somebody else's kid on the show.
Okay.
Speaking about that. Right. Abusive. And it came back to me like, oh, and right away I get attacked. Sometimes I open up my mouth because I am a mom. And
you had every right to defend a child.
And I'm a protector. I'm a protector and I do protect. Sometimes I'm a little opinionated, but hey, listen, this is, I have a radio show. I'm going to talk. I'm going to give my opinion.
Of course.
This is me. I'm a woman. I speak freely. Hello, freedom of speech. I could say whatever the heck I want.
Right.
So screw you all who do have a problem with that just because it may be something you don't like.
I mean, how horrible a show would this be, or even Real Housewives?
If
everybody
can't speak.
Sat and agreed with each other and you're so wonderful. So are you.
Yeah,
so are you.
Exactly. I'm not a Stepford wife.
Yawn.
I'm not going to be like, yes, I'm perfect.
But see,
yes,
I see that.
Life
I see
is
that.
Great.
No, no, but I see that as misogyny because I feel like, if a woman speaks out and says her opinion, like, oh, don't say that. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be mean. It's like, I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. And it's because it's coming out of a woman's mouth. If a man said this, nobody would ever say. People would say, oh, he's so great. He's protecting the child.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I'm like, no. I'm like, we have every right. And, you know, speaking of that, it's so funny because now it's like I'm sitting here. I'm getting texts saying, somebody wrote an article. Would you like to rebuttal about you and your husband? So, I mean, I know what people do. They want to. And I have to say 98% of my fans are so awesome and positive. But because of these two cast members that are very dysfunctional that I've dealt with and everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Yep, we all
okay,
do.
Okay. He's so sick in his head. Now it's like, oh, anybody who crosses me, oh, just wait. I'm going to come after you and Reno. I'm like, oh dear God, like
he's such a bully.
Get over
it.
But you know what? I am one of the strongest women you're gonna find, because you know what? I have no tolerance for bully. I teach young kids this. I will go out and I will stand up for myself. Everyone has to know, stand up for yourself in life. Don't cower down to bullies, because all they are, they're wimpish little people.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, so getting back to that, even about abuse. My life is so far from perfect. I've experienced everything in my life. But of course, articles come out and say, oh, someone's going to say, oh, Reno, talking about abuse. Reno beat Teresa. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this clear right now. I would never be with somebody who beat me. I would walk away as a woman today. So no, is my life perfect? Have we had drawn out screaming fights? Oh, yeah, that's me. Anybody who knows me knows that I am passionate in everything I do.
I have to laugh because
you
when
know,
even
fighting,
just knowing Reno, it's just so preposterous. And then all I can think about is the one episode that I finally saw. It was the one where he had the G-string with the face of the, what was it, like an elephant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a toucan.
A toucan. Yeah, that's right.
It was a bird.
Like his little bird G-string.
Yeah.
So I picture everything he does from here on in, I picture him in that.
He's fun. You know, hey, listen. You know, we have a real marriage, you know, and that's why I say, you know, as of today and the three of us, we have so much to, we're all three amazing women. And I say that in all humility, and we're so far from perfect at the same time.
Speak for yourself.
But we have so much to offer because
we
have so many different experiences. That's why I said, you know, Nicole, we have to definitely work on our website, Cooper, to get up there. And you know what? To really have, and we have our, you know, email where we can really be in constant dialect with our fans and with
dialogue.
What did I just say?
Dialect. But I know what you meant.
You know what I meant. Well, that's science, you know, dialect.
That's true, though, because whatever dialect you speak, we're interested.
Yeah,
we're
like,
in.
Ayo. Like, ayo. My little Brooklyn dialect. But you're right, the dialogue, we could have, like, it's so amazing every week. Just there's so much to talk about. And if we can help others, that's what life is about. That's what life's about.
Yeah, that's right. We suck at technology. We're very good at Instagram and Twitter,
yeah,
though.
Yes, I have to say, though, I help a lot of people on Twitter, and that's why I love it, and even Instagram. And I've met so many amazing people and young teenagers and little girl, like I told you, Abigail called me last night from Vegas, and I was having a little bit of a crazy night. And she just called, and she put the biggest smile on my face. And
why are we having a crazy night?
Because I went to go get my Christmas tree. And then the day before, we had gone into the city with all the kids. Mm-hmm. Our tradition, we go see the tree, we go ice skating, we go for a great steak dinner, we go all around Manhattan. And I wanted to tag my children in a post, because I was posting on Instagram of like all 50 of us in front of Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. And when I went to go tag my son, I was blocked from his Instagram account.
What?
Not good. Not my older son. Not good. My younger son. Not my 18-year-old. My 16-year-old. So I said, Joey, mommy's blocked. Untag me. And he said, no, I'm not untagging you until you take the picture off your Instagram of you in your Halloween costume. And I was an angel.
Yeah, you looked
great. Yes, I was an angel for Halloween. And it was a picture of my sister and I. It was totally fine. My boobs weren't hanging out.
No.
It was just a very pretty picture of me.
Yes, it was the most conservative. You know, when you told me you were going to be an angel, I was like, oh, here it comes. But it actually, you were an angel. Like, you just looked like the big wings.
Okay, girls.
Well, I didn't get the frontal of me.
It's beautiful. It was sexy. But it was far from conservative.
Okay, excuse me.
Well, wait. No, for her, for Nicole, it was conservative.
The picture that I had taken and posted, the picture that I posted
I'm great
was
it, I think
aside.
It's awesome.
It was a side picture of me.
Right.
So, yes, you did not see my boobs.
You were practically
or my cleavage
a nun in that picture.
Out,
I mean, I
okay?
thought I thought you had joined a cult, like a religious cult.
And you know, it's so funny. So last night I was like, oh my goodness. So I was with my parents and I said, Dad, look at this picture. He goes, what a beautiful picture, my daughter.
Right.
Mom, she goes,
and Giovanni thought, my
Giovanni
thought was gorgeous.
The one who
He's
told
the one who
me
said, Aunt Nicole, post this one.
Post this
he
picture.
He appreciates.
So here I am.
Whatever
I said
wear.
To myself, this is so ridiculous. I have my 16-year-old telling me that he blocked me because he wants me to take this picture
Mommy
down.
Shame?
Mommy shame. It was a mommy shame last night.
You got mommy shame?
I got mommy
shame
last night. Okay. Now, here I am, a single parent. Mm. I do everything financially. I just
you do
sometimes,
for your kids.
Right? I do everything. I go
You're like
out
superwoman.
There. I'm like, thank you, Teresa.
You
I
are.
Appreciate
my
that.
My hat goes off to you.
But like, I do everything for my boys, and for
because
them,
it's a lot to do it on your own. It makes it a lot easier when you have, you know,
when
right. working together.
Right. I don't have a man supporting me. Like, I'm a single mom. I do everything. I take my kids on vacation. I take them to the city this week. I. Just so many things,
right. And you know, you work,
love
a full,
you,
you work a full time job, and you make that you make them elaborate meals. I mean, they eat amazing at your house.
That's what
home cooked meals, really.
Yeah, this I told you. Their snacks at night are filet mignon sandwiches.
Right.
I mean, at 11 o'clock at night. So basically, when I got mommy shame last night, I'm like, oh my goodness! Like here I am, I had this fabulous day the day before. They had this amazing steak dinner, an amazing day in Manhattan. And he's actually telling me that he wants me to take this picture off of social media. And I'm
no.
like, wait a second. There's such a double standard
right.
here. You know what I'm saying? If it was his father on a boat with his shirt off with his girlfriend, he would never tell his father to take the picture down.
Of course not.
Or if his father was, I don't know, a something.
Right, with his boxers
you know, with his
and
boxers
his shirt
on or something
and...
like a fireman for. He would never tell his father, oh, take that off Instagram. But yet, I said, Joey, why? Why does this bother you? He goes, oh, Mom, because so many of my friends look at you and they think you're so pretty. And I said, but it is a pretty picture. It's
right.
not a, I hate to say it, but like a slutty picture. I would
no.
never
post. But you know what? I don't even like to use that word. You know what? I think as women, we need to break down that wall
right.
of really, I mean, I would call it discrimination. Like,
it really is.
Thank
yeah.
you.
It,
I feel that we should be able to
You
dress,
should be able to wear whatever you want. And you know what?
Whatever we want at any age.
At any
no, but Nicole,
age.
Nicole, this is a teaching opportunity for you. This is an opportunity for you to
yes.
say to your 16-year-old son that, no, you're not taking the picture down
yes.
because women get to dress however they want. And if he has, I mean, he doesn't have a problem with it because it's a woman. He has a problem because it's you. But I think you should explain to him that you It's. I'm looking at the picture right now. It's not inappropriate. It's not. I'm not uncomfortable looking at it. I'm not like, ooh, what the hell?
Awesome.
You look. I mean, it's a costume. It's right. Halloween.
Right. Well, the picture that I'm showing you right now is the picture on my Facebook. I deleted the one on Instagram that he's
on
Instagram.
But I've seen that one.
I did delete it. And what I did tell him was, you know what, Joey? If you look at my Instagram, I'm very proud of my Instagram. There are, you know, there's lots of pictures. Yes, I am in the public eye. I was on a reality show. I have a podcast. I'm a jet broker. So you see me wearing all different types of hats. I'm in my blazers. I have one picture in a bikini. I have pictures with the family. It's very diversified, my social media.
You know, instead of saying, you know what, I'm a woman in my 40s and I look like this and I'm proud of the way I look and I dress however I feel comfortable, he's making you feel badly for being who you are. I mean, you're not, I don't look at this picture and think, oh, she's showing off who she thinks she is. It's just you in a costume.
Absolutely.
So I think that you should, I see why you took the picture down because you just wanted to keep the peace with him. But I think this is an opportunity for you to have a conversation with him where you specifically say, women can wear whatever they want, whenever they want, and you don't get to have an opinion about it. And
Absolutely.
If you do have an opinion, keep it to yourself because they don't want to hear it. Because the minute you say something, what you're doing is you're saying to a woman that she can't dress this way because a man thinks it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing if you're wearing something really inappropriate and it's going to embarrass you as a mom, as a reality show.
Absolutely.
But this is just you in a costume and you look beautiful. You don't look slutty. It's not, like, I mean, honestly, you're laughing at me. I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that word.
Slutty.
I apologize.
You hate the word slutty.
Sorry. But you know what I mean?
Because you know what's so amazing? I'm so tired of everyone saying, like, well, no, she's slutty. Well, what do you got call a guy who sleeps around?
Right. That's true.
Right?
But I meant in terms of the negative.
No, I know.
I don't look at this picture and think any negative connotations. I don't look at it. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. It's not inappropriate. Which is why I think this is an opportunity to have a conversation.
I felt angelic.
You were dressed as an angel.
I felt angelic.
Right. And again, it was a Halloween. It's not like you're walking around every day in your... Well, you know what? Actually, you should walk around in your angel costume.
Thank you.
Just to show him. You should make dinner tonight.
Exactly.
In that angel costume.
I was Spider Girl. I'm like, every woman needs an angel by his side. Every Spider Girl needs an angel by his side. So can you just dress as an angel?
Wait, oh my God, you just reminded me, my mother, this is so funny. My mother dressed as a cat one Halloween and went out with her friends and my stepfather. They just started dating, right? And they went out and she came back a little bit drunk, wearing her little cat leotard. It was like it was like one of those old leotard, like a Danskin leotard from back in the day. And she attached this tail to it, right? And so she came home in it. With just walking around, she didn't put anything over it, and I made fun of her relentlessly. So I had my friends over the next day. She put that costume back on and marched her ass out into the living room and was like, "Hey, can I get you guys?"
Go, Mama Cooper!
She wanted to send the message that I'm wearing this and tough titties. This is what I look like.
Good for
I love your mom.
So it's and this was back in this is the 80s when it was just people didn't feel comfortable. People didn't felt like they can say anything about women back then. So it's better now that you can stand up for yourself, and you should.
And you were saying that too about now they're getting
woman,
talking
hear me raw with numbers too big to ignore. That's my song.
That was my divorce song.
I am woman.
I love Sex in the City.
That was
I just love those
empowering
girls.
Song.
Now I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that there is a revolution a brewing that we need to address because I think this is the perfect segue for this because we're talking about body image.
Yes.
Have
mm-hmm.
you seen this? There's an 18-year-old model named Jordan Woods. She was interviewed by Teen Vogue. And if you don't know who Jordan Woods is, she's a friend of Kylie Jenner and the Jenner kids. She's one of their little in their posse. But she's a model and she's not a size 2. She's probably a size 22, maybe. I don't know what her size is, but she's not teeny weeny.
Okay.
And she was interviewed by the magazine and they kept calling her plus size. But that is a word, those are words that she will not use. She said, there's so many people out there just like me, and right now the curve industry is just blowing up because people are realizing curve models are cool and most people are not that skinny. So she's starting this revolution to use the word curve because it's a much more positive spin. Because plus size
such
implies there's something. Yeah,
connotation.
Exactly.
Like,
right,
oh,
right.
You're right. I love
it. I think
it's
awesome. Curves.
She's a brilliant. Brilliant kid.
And there's a
brilliant
hashtag.
Girl.
Yeah, there's a hashtag.
Girl power.
Teresa,
I love to hear that.
You
I
love
do.
This stuff. Wait, there's a hashtag, Teresa. You'll love this. Hashtag drop the plus. And there are companies like ModCloth and well-known clothes, like websites and clothing companies that are dropping. They're not dropping the sizing. They're dropping the term plus size.
Well, you know what, Teresa? You're going to be very happy after hearing this today because on the way in, Teresa, we went through the McDonald's drive-thru and she was eating hash browns and Egg McMuffins and all like a McDonald's breakfast. And she looks in the back and she goes, that's why you look like you and I look like me, because she's like 10 pounds heavier. So look,
thanks,
Teresa.
Nicole.
Now you can eat more Egg McMuffins.
I happen to like, listen, I really do not, I love McDonald's breakfast. I can't help it. And I go, and she goes, yeah, I said, Nicole, yeah, this morning, she's very funny. I go,
I love how you've taken this, that now this means you can eat more.
So exactly. Curves are in, baby. Well, more to hold on to.
They are, the curves are in, and here's the
I
thing.
I love curves.
If you
are
think
in.
About I them, like... if you think about the people that we've been talking about this year, like Amy Schumer and Melissa McCarthy and Rebel Wilson,
love
Lena Dunham,
Amy.
Like, yeah, exactly. We're celebrating women for being women and not about their sizing. And I have to say, as three women in our 40s, when I first read this story, I felt like this flood of just warmth come over me, because this is something that has been a big part of our growing up. At least for me, I'll speak for myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, body image was a big issue.
Totally.
Living up to model sizing. I mean, I remember I have a girlfriend that she used to be an agent and she represented Deborah Messing, and she handled Deborah Messing when she ended up getting Will and Grace. And it was in her contract that she had to maintain her body at a size 2.
Wow.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson, too, for Baywatch. It was in her contract that she couldn't go over
That's
a certain
wild.
Weight.
Right. And the thing is, Baywatch makes a little more sense because they're in bathing
exactly.
suits.
But, exactly.
But
not
Will and Grace?
Will and Grace?
I mean, she's just a girl living in New York City. Why does she have to be a size 2? And she's naturally a size 6.
And
so,
she is now. She looks great.
Oh,
she's
she looks fuller. Yeah, she looks, she's her natural size
she's
now.
She's a natural size
right.
now.
Right. But the idea that, can you imagine now a contract where they actually tell you what size you have to be to maintain
that
job?
That's
I actually can.
You can?
I can. Yeah, because the
Why?
Industry is so, oh, come on, Tress. It's so empty and everyone is just in so
Oh, so you're not saying you
bites.
Agree with it.
I don't
saying-
agree with it, but I can see a lot of probably
like it wouldn't shock
shows.
You.
It wouldn't shock me to see in a contract
well,
if I was on a
you.
Television
no,
show.
No, you know what? You're exactly right. Because
it's such
when
a
we
vapid
were doing,
industry.
No, you know what? You're right. Because when we were even filming Housewives and stuff, I've heard people say, oh, gosh, this one wanted to be a housewife and that one wanted to be a housewife. Oh, my God. Has she looked at herself in the mirror? Like, they've
yeah.
made comments about people's. I've heard people in the industry make comments, and it's disgusting.
You've got to,
quite frankly.
You've got to speak
yeah.
up. You've got
yeah.
if you hear somebody say that, you
oh,
have
totally
to speak up and say
oh
that's
gosh,
unacceptable. Women
unacceptable.
Are all yeah, you have to say
something. And you
something
know what drives
it.
Me crazy too? I can't stand I mean, all right, I was just going to say some men sometimes are just they're just from another planet, but I can't stand when I hear either even other women knocking other women. Like that mm-hmm. to me is even more upsetting. You know?
Right.
I don't know. And that's why I've heard people in the industry. I'm like, that's so mean.
Well, I have to say, that's why I loved when I went to school in Italy and I came back 17 pounds heavier when I got off the plane, and my mother and my sister looked at me and was like,
oh, Nicole, it's not like you could really tell. You were just a little fuller and you're like,
I was definitely fuller. You sent me like, but the bottom line is because in Italy, like everyone just ate and they drank and they weren't conscious about like what you look like and your size, and the more meat you had on you, the more the men loved out
right.
there. Yeah.
You know, I used to work for Tyra Banks. I was the relationship expert on the Tyra Banks show for years. And Tyra and I bonded because, getting back to the beginning of our podcast,
okay.
Tyra also doesn't speak to her biological father. So she and I bonded immediately on that, and we became like besties on the show, right?
Oh, wow.
So I remember that she and I one day were talking about the fact that we had people on the show regularly who were like size conscious or somebody that made them feel bad because of their size. And Tyra always said it's about being healthy. It's about being your best, healthiest weight. So if you're healthy at a 2, if you're healthy at a 22, health is the important thing. And then she had gained a bunch of weight and then lost a bunch of weight.
I remember that.
And the media went after her and said, like, what a hypocrite. Screw her. How dare she? And I went on CNN and I went on Entertainment Tonight. I went on a bunch of shows and I defended her. Because I worked with her for 2 years. I knew her well. The people knew that I knew her. And I went on and defended her and said, Tyra has never said the words weight. She never says you should be this weight. She said you should be your best, healthiest weight. Not, it's not about being a size 2. It's about being your health. And so I explained about her. She saw it. Because it made, like, it was everywhere. It was on, like, Yahoo's homepage, and the Today Show ran something on it. Tyra saw it, and she sent me a handwritten note thanking me for my friendship, my loyalty, and for understanding who she really was.
Beautiful.
And that, for paying attention for 2 years, you know.
Exactly.
And I'll never forget that conversation, because it is about being your healthiest size. And the fact that this whole quote unquote plus size thing has come into the vernacular, like plus size means that there's a size and you're more than that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's
right.
a plus, you know, there's which implies that there's something wrong with the size you are. So when I saw this after growing up with so many friends that had anorexia, so many friends with bulimia, so many, you know, so many, just my mom even like saying to me, oh, you're getting a little heavy there kind of thing. And even you coming back from Italy and hearing like, oh, you put on weight. Just somebody noticing that and saying that, I think, is degrading and makes you self-conscious and makes you feel bad about who you are, and as if all you are is a number on a scale.
Right.
And we grew up so much like that. So the fact that this younger generation, this girl is 18 years old, and this is her thing. She wants to change
passion.
She wants
That's
to change
awesome.
It. I mean, I feel so hopeful for this generation, and I almost cried when I was reading her story, because I thought, for all the things we say about the younger generation, and they're such a mess, they're so narcissistic, they're all entitled, you get the few women like this who have risen up and said, stop it. Stop
yes.
it. This is who I am, and you will accept me for who I am, or you can all go fuck yourselves.
Good for her.
And I really feel hopeful for this generation and for how they're changing the view.
I do, too. And I have to say, I think it's very important we do encourage the generations coming up. You know, especially us, like you said, women in our 40s. This girl is... That's an inspiration to young kids today, the next generations. And that's why it's up to us to really inspire children, you know, and really, really help them get to where they want to get. I don't think, you know, people knock this generation, say they're lost. They're really, some of them are lost because they don't know. They don't have elders or parents really teaching
them
the possibilities of making their dreams come true. That's why I think it's really up to every individual.
Mm.
If we could really inspire and really educate and really help them in a sense where, and that's where I was going with today's society, like getting rid of your ego, teaching these kids, you know, unconditional love, loving one another, as women, lifting each other up. Forget the competition. There's healthy competition where we all thrive, but help each other. Help each other. We have to be at a point in our lives to lift each other up, help others achieve their dreams.
Right.
While we're doing that with our talents and our gifts, people get so nervous, like, oh, well, you're helping others. What about yourself? Forget your dreams. Because you know what I realized, Cooper?
And get out of yourself.
When you get out of yourself, forget about trying to, oh, what are my dreams? I got to achieve my dreams, my dreams, my goals, my goals. When you're helping others achieve their dreams and goals, guess what? The universe, the world is helping you achieve yours. It works. It just works.
Hmm.
If we can do that to the generations coming up, and not just the young ones, people our own age that
right.
aren't where they want to be today, you know, I think it's our
responsibility.
Teresa,
do you get this message across? Do you both get these messages across to your sons? Because it's
Always.
Easier. It's easier if you have daughters, because you're like, don't take this from, you know, be this way. But do you explain? Do your sons understand this?
You know what? My
They do. I think we talk to our boys a lot.
Constantly.
And we constantly have family dinners every night, which is very important to us. Sometimes we're busy and we're in the city and we're working.
But well, Nicole, you're an amazing cook, so I would want to
thank you.
No, we do.
We cook basically every night.
I think
and we have that family time, and that's when
we have conversation
we
at
talk
the dinner table.
And we listen. We talk and we listen to what they have to say, too.
But I think I do talk to my son about that. You talk about being a mom and advice. It's constantly. And, you know, in this world about, you know, body conscious. It's all about, and don't get me wrong, I'm guilty of it too. I have certain standards that I'm kind of rough with myself at times, which
right.
I want to be healthy. I want to be the best. I want to help others to be the healthiest they can be. I want to look a certain way. But it's also a very money conscious, very materialistic world we're living in.
Right.
And I also, that, you know, I talk to my son constantly about that. Money comes. Enjoy what you're doing. I want these kids to enjoy. People have to learn to just enjoy life every day. Enjoy every single minute of your life. And then when you enjoy what you're doing, everything else is going to fall into place. Success will come. Just you got to kind of get back to the basics. That's what I feel as a parent, as a woman, as a mom, as a wife, as a friend. If you got to get back to the basics. It's the little things in life. And don't you agree?
Yeah. The attitude of gratitude. Because especially this month of December, mm-hmm. a lot of people have pressure and Christmas and Hanukkah and gifts. And I think a lot of people could get lost this month, and you do have to go back to that attitude of gratitude and remember the smallest things and not be stressed out. And people have to stop thinking about buying, and spending. And then in January, all of a sudden, they get their credit card bills and everyone's under so much stress, and then depression comes in.
Right.
I think...
There's that one day in January that they say is like the most depressing day of the year, because that's when the bills come in.
Absolutely.
From Christmas.
That's why I don't have credit cards.
Pay cash for everything.
Yeah.
That really, that's really good advice.
Don't you feel that, like, you know, it's so amazing when you are, like, giving back and doing something for others?
Yes, that's why I love Thanksgiving. It's all about giving thanks and gratitude, and there's no presents, and everyone is just about sitting around a table and eating and being grateful.
It was my birthday, so it was all about presents. Thanksgiving, by the way. So that's all. I was like, enjoy your turkey. Where's my
Cooper?
Gift?
Where's my present?
Isn't about you, Cooper. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
It is about Cooper.
I'm teasing.
You know what, Cooper? You deserve it. You deserve all those presents. You deserve it.
No, I don't deserve anything. But
I will never forget your birthday. I'm grateful then. I am so grateful. That's something else that I'm grateful for.
That's good.
I met you.
And I'm grateful.
And it's your birthday.
And I'm grateful for you too, of course. Even though it's no longer Thanksgiving, I'm still grateful because you guys have been very good friends to me, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate that we've been doing this wonderful podcast together.
Yeah.
And I fear that we've come to the end of our podcast once
girl
again.
Girl talk?
Yeah. So just
that girl talk.
Any last thoughts before we move on to the rest of our lives today?
If there's any more thoughts, we're going to need another hour. So I think that should be for next week's show, because once we start talking, we don't stop, Cooper.
That is true about
us. Just spread the love, everybody. It's just a great time of
year. Spread the love. Butterfly effect.
Yeah. Spread the love.
Kisses.
Smile.
Kissing's always a good idea.
Hey,
That's my thought.
Thank you so much for listening. And hey, spread the word about us. Email us your thoughts and questions, girlsinheelspodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to our producers, Anthony and Dennis, who produce Girls in Heels every week.
Yes.
Thank you. Speaking of gratitude, thank you to Blog Talk Radio for having us. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Ladies, I will see you next week.
See you next week, girls. Mwah.
Teresa, Nicole, and I back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. Thank you for downloading.
Thank you.